a number of times when I prepare a lesson that the song leader has chosen songs that just fit. And this morning was particularly one of those times. The opening song was Whiter Than Snow and Holy, Holy, Holy. And we're going to be talking about a lesson this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of 1 Peter and in chapter 1. And the kind of the kickoff title for it, and if you're for the recording, the lesson would be entitled Preparing Your Minds. What we did a couple weeks ago, we started in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and we talked about us being chosen in Christ. It isn't God said, oh boy, I'm stuck with you. God said, I chose you, I wanted you, and you're the kind of people I was looking for. Then the next lesson that we did was showed that you're secure in Christ, that you're protected by the power of God through faith. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking in verse 13. In the New International Version says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. If you're reading out of a different version, New American Standard, King James, or whatever, it has the phrase that's right, but we don't generally talk that way. It said, gird up the loins of your mind. What in the world does that mean? Well, in biblical times, of course, what they wore is long flowing robes. And if you're going to get to work doing anything really strenuous, you kind of got to get it out of your way. And so they'd take those robes, hike them up, you know, a couple of feet, take their sash belt, wrap it around their hips, tie it tight. More so in our area, say, roll up your sleeves and get to work. Well, what he's talking about is not saying, I want you to adjust your clothing. I want you to get your minds ready to be active. And so when we think about aspects like that, some people are. Some people, not very much. And so what we're talking about, Christians, is great to be in the family of God. But now that we are, what's it say? Get ready to go to work. A passage that maybe we all like, if you don't have it highlighted in your Bibles, you might. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, be steadfast. You meet some people, man, no matter how high the water, how hot the fire, flames, opposition, man, they just motor on. And that inspires us. And that aspect of be steadfast. Some people you see, they're wobbling around and, oh, I don't know, what can I do? My neighbor's dog didn't like me and the postman didn't greet me. Small stuff, and they're just overwhelmed. But we want to think about how in all of life, that idea of activity is really encouraged. Think about physically. A lot of times in America, we're seen as a somewhat sedentary nation. But being physically active does a lot of really positive things. You say, how did you do during COVID? Oh man, I was a bum. I hardly, the only reason I got out of the house and did exercise was going to say, would you walk me around the block? So, man, isn't that strenuous? 1/2 mile once a day, that's it. And I look out, Ron Swift, you know, he's doing the treadmill and working out. And Paul, you were a bum. You were not doing that. So you get past that. And I had to talk to myself. Rather, well, here's all these reasons why, blah, blah. Think about this. It being physically active, and we're going to apply it spiritually in a little bit, improves your memory and brain function in all age groups. It improves the quality of your sleep. It makes you feel happier. It raises your endorphins that helps reduce the level of chronic pain. It reduces anxiety and depression, promotes strong bones and muscles so you fall, you don't break your hip. Oh, okay, now you're in triple trouble. It lowers your blood pressure and improves your heart health. Reduces the risk of type 2 diabetes and many cancers. And so it has a lot of good things as it does, but you got to talk to yourself, all right, time to get up, get after it. And you have to have some kind of plan, or we just kind of, for the most part, lapse into inactivity. So think about this. As God has chosen us in Christ and wants us to always abound in every good work, you say, all right, so what are my goals? Think about that. Sometimes I ask people and they just, I don't know, I'm just coming. Turn your Bibles open for a moment. We've been in 1 Peter. We're going to turn to 2 Peter and then back again. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll start this morning in verse 6 and 7, where he's talking about adding to your faith virtue. When you think about what are your goals, where do you want to go from here? We tend to think about that in careers. What I would like to do is this. Or in family, I'd like it to be this such a way. I knew before I was a Christian, before I had a family, as a teenager, I didn't want the kind of family I grew up in. I thought, whatever it takes to have a happy family, that's what I wanted to have. I didn't know how to get there, but I knew that's the goal that I wanted to arrive at. So Peter was said, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. One of the things we do on Sunday evening is we have a Sunday evening Bible class via Zoom, and we do that on Wednesday night as well. Could you join us? All you have to do is we have the little, you go to Zoom, put in your little passcode, or if you'd like, I'll send you a hyperlink and the password, and boom, you are in. It's fun being together. And as we're working our way through the first half of Acts and doing Ezekiel, it's exciting. It's neat. Great questions. Thought-provoking. And so what are your goals? Is it to grow in knowledge? He said, add to your knowledge self-control. You say, you know, here's an area of my life. It's really not on track. I can do better. Now, my plan is, this is what I could do to improve that. Or perseverance. Sometimes we're great starters, not as good finishers. All right, I'm going to do it. Well, 3 weeks later, I've gotten, you know, sidelined and such as that. Add to your perseverance godliness. I want to be more submissive. I know God says it, but to me, and we make some kind of rationale where we let ourselves get away with not obeying. Brotherly kindness and love. That word love, agape, actually means to act in one another's best interest, but it actually carries more than just, well, I'll do it, but I hate the bum anyhow. It is cherishing the person. So think about what they're going through and the reversals they have, and how might you help? And so preparing our minds for action. And number one is deciding, you know, I need to get busy. Number two is, where could I do that in? And I thought I just added Acts 9 and verse 36. Here was Tabitha or Dorcas, a Christian lady who was abounding in deeds of kindness. Some people, man, they just radiate. They're willing to serve. They help people. I'm impressed. I'm amazed. I stand in awe at how giving and loving they are. You know, is that something that you could do to bless others? What are your goals? You say, well, I mean to, and pretty soon, one of these days, and before long, and I've got plans, but if you say it like that, maybe that's all they do, is they're plans, but you've got to actually work that plan. In a book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 11, and verse 4, is where he says, he that watches the wind will not plant or sow, and he who watches the rain will not harvest. I mean, there's always some reason, isn't there, to not do whatever we were going to do, but I can't do it today. See, you know, I'm looking at this, already looks cloudy. Whatever it is, there's something that I can't get me, and you have to talk to yourself. What am I going to do? Well, one of the things I'd like to suggest, if you're hounded by procrastination, is be honest about your priorities. Well, I should and I ought and I've been thinking about it. Is there something that's nagging on you that you really don't want to do? Yeah, it's X. Okay. Well, ask yourself, how important is it really? Once in a while, I say, yeah, I got this thing nagging over here. Paul, do you want to do it? No. Is it that important? No. You know, I'm going to cross it off my list. Not only you can cross stuff off your list that you've done, you can cross some stuff off. You said, I've decided I'm not going to do that. And you just, I had a guy a long time ago. I was playing a lot of racquetball, and he wanted to play pickleball and wanted me to join a tournament with him. I said, no. He said, oh, we could win it. No. I didn't want to do that. Not only it wasn't as fast-paced and ardent as racquetball, I didn't particularly like him. I did not. He wasn't a Christian. It just some worldly guy, and he had his own priorities. He just wanted me for a partner. And no, that was not high enough on my priority list. So is it really important to you? Is there a call that you dread me? Oh, yeah. Well, what? Why? Well, you have to ask yourself, well, man, it's really tough, or I don't like what we're talking about, or whatever. So do you have to do it? You say, well, if I put it off, it's just going to get worse. I'm going to feel worse and have to explain why I didn't call or whatever. And so you say, all right, I'm going to set a time, and it's going to be whatever, 7 in the evening or 4 in the afternoon, whatever you like, and set the call. And say, well, all right, but what will you say? Sometimes I tell people, get a 3x5 card, get a sticky note, and say, Henry, what I'd like to say is, or I need to send this email, and set yourself a time so that you don't continue to procrastinate. A lot of times it seems too difficult, too big, guess what you do? Just like elephants, you chop them in pieces. Okay, I can't do the whole thing, but I could do this part. Well, okay, and almost all the time when we get started in it, that one little part isn't overwhelming. Wow, that was easier than I thought. And then you get on and get the job done. I don't know how to start. Well, ask somebody. One of the things that I have been doing recently, been doing some maintenance on my four-wheel drive truck. There's a number of things I hadn't done before. And I mentioned to a couple of guys, part of a four-wheel drive thing is called a transfer case. And I said, that's easy. There's a fill plug and a drain plug, and I've got the oil and I got the drain pan. You just undo it. And I put it right there. And the oil went, phew! And so the 20-minute job became a two-hour job. Now I got to clean it up. But that's okay. I got it cleaned up, put in that plug, filled it up, the job's done. And so sometimes we learn a little bit by the doing of it. We can Google. You might ask somebody else. You say, no, I want to deal with such and such, and I want to be accountable. Well, that helps you get to your goal. Or it might be, you know, when I do X that I've kind of been putting off, it can be a paper, a job, or interview, or phone call, whatever it is, I'm going to give myself a small reward. And so it just helps us to move in that right direction because we want to prepare our minds for action. And then stop making excuses. In Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men can answer a reason. So they just, I don't want and I can't. And then these whimsy little excuses. So, all right. I don't want to do it, but it's worth doing, and it's going to be challenging to start, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it on Tuesday, and I'm going to start at what you choose the time, at 10 a.m., and that's when I'm going to do it. I'm going to do part one of that. Well, that wasn't as hard, and so what we're doing is we're preparing our minds for action. That's exactly what Peter said to do. You're chosen. You're secure. Now get to work. And then in the area of self-control, it's interesting because in 1 Peter 1:13 and the second part of that phrase, New International Version will say, be self-controlled. New American Standard says, keep sober in spirit. You might like to know this as they deal with that phrase of being sober or self-controlled. Lowen Knight, a highly regarded Greek dictionary, says to behave with restraint and moderation. Thayer's says to be calm and collected in spirit. vine says to be free from the influence of intoxicants. Well, what does that mean? What they're saying is, how does our mind work? And he says, how you want to make it work. Now, it can be, well, man, I just got smashed on Saturday night and went out with the boys and drank. And well, what happens when you do that? Well, initially, the alcohol impacts the frontal lobes, and decision-making goes, quality decision-making goes out the window, and then it goes on from there. What he's saying is, Christians, be of such a disposition that there's nothing that intoxicates you, that gets your mind off the focus it ought to be onto some other area where it is blurred. Well, Paul, what do you mean by that? Well, one of that is the fantasies. Now, it can be alcohol, but it can be just our skewed thinking. And that is, you know what? I'm not very happy. I'm depressed, a person might say. But if I just had more, then I'd be happy. More stuff. Well, think about that in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. There's where Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he possesses. So we're not going to be happier just because, man, if I got this much, if I had double that, then I'd really be happy. The stuff, maybe if you have enough money or enough material, it makes life pleasant. But happiness is a different issue. A lot of rich people that are incredibly unhappy. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek you first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is, if our attitude, God, I am just grateful. And if I'm grateful, anything is enough. So it's not, I'll be happy if I just had more. That doesn't do it. Well, about the fantasy of, well, it's not too big a sin. I'm going to allow myself to do this thing. And Hebrews 3 and verse 13, he said, encourage one another that none of you be hardened by, and here's the phrase, the deceitfulness of sin. If I just permit myself to do, then I'll be happier. The reality is, it isn't. It is really self-defeating because it's self-perpetuating. It isn't like I get there and now I'm done. I want more and I want more. So he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prepare your minds for action. I want you to be sober in spirit. Have a balanced attitude toward life. And that'll mean controlling yourself, be self-disciplined. And then I want you to set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. And 1 Peter 1:13, part C says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's really your goal and focus? Well, I want to be the next who's ever the world champion, but I'll say in the olden days, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Wow, man, Mr. Olympia. Paul, I want to be 6'4". I couldn't be 6'4" if a cement mixer ran over me. I don't have the genetics for that. Well, I'd like to be, the genetics say, Paul, here's where you're going to be. Now, you can be a healthy, active guy your size, but you are what you are. Now, Paul, what's your goal? Well, man, if I just had the money of Elon Musk, if I could just fly up, you know, spend whatever it is, $4 million for a 10-minute flight into low-altitude space, man, then I'd really be happy. That really won't change happiness. That's one more accomplishment, but it really doesn't make you happier. He said, what I want you to think about is your real goal. I want you to think about your ultimate goal. I want you to think about where you're going in eternity. Think about the things that are promised in Hebrews 12, 23. You've come to the spirits of just men, righteous men made perfect. Man, won't it be wonderful there? We struggle. We want to do right, and then we mess up and foul up, and like Jim Hester likes to call it, the human condition. But what will it be like? Flawless, perfect. You never struggle with sin again. You go, wow, wouldn't that be amazing? And then in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll draw your attention to verse 42 and 43, how we get a new, after the resurrection, a new, powerful, glorious body, and it's indestructible. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? As you get older, everything is creaky and this is stiff and that doesn't work very well, and you go to the doctor and whatnot. What if you had a body that was impervious to disease, impervious to aging, powerful, glorious, and never changed? Never got the worse for wear. You go, wow. Man, that would be exciting. Won't it be wonderful there? In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and he'll return on the cloud, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive shall be gathered and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will ever be with the Lord. Man, won't it be wonderful there? What would it be like walking and talking with Christ, the supernal one? What would it be like walking and talking with all the righteous of all the ages? Hezekiah, Josiah. What would it be like talking to Moses? Ooh, that was tough, Moses. What would it be like talking to Elijah? Oh, we read about you. And forever, and 100,000 angels in the presence of God. There's no death, no crying, or pain ever again. Revelation 21 and then verse 4. And then as you go down to verse 21, everything is stunningly beautiful. We live in a beautiful area of the country. And I just love being with Christians. In fact, one family that's traveling today that I neglected to mention was Vince and Diane Lindbergh. Their daughter's getting married, and they traveled down to, I thought they're going to Texas, going to said Florida. But it's just joyous being with Christians. And anywhere you go in the world, there's Christians there somewhere. And you get to be with Christians forever. Won't it be wonderful there? He said, here's all the craziness in the world. Not only the war and the devastation in the Ukraine, but you have the craziness in the United States, in every country. And what about heaven? Won't it be wonderful there? And then he gives us that call to holy living. He says in 1 Peter 1:15, back to 1 Corinthians, 1 Peter 1:15, like the Holy One who called you, be holy in all your behavior. We talk about individuals, sometimes they have an alternative lifestyle. And we mean they're kind of weird, they're just nutty, and we don't want anything to do with that. You know, from the world standpoint, we have that alternative lifestyle. They see us as the weird ones, the nutty ones, and they don't want anything to do with us because it calls attention to their lives don't measure up. And sometimes they'll talk badly about us. Why? Because we don't want to watch the rotten kind of movies that they delight in. We're not going to go to their bars and get smashed on the weekend. We don't want to use the kind of language they use. It's not that we never had done that, but we have a higher calling. And he said, I've called you to holy living. And he said, here's the reason why. He said, be holy like the one who called you in all your behavior, because it is written, and I just inserted there, Leviticus 11:44, Leviticus 19:2, Leviticus 20:7, repeatedly says this, you shall be holy for I am holy. That he's called us to a different lifestyle because he's our God, we're his children. Think about it, I'll do a little better on Sunday. He wants us to do a little better on every day. In our words, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our behavior, finances, friendships, in every area. And that word holy is hagios in the Greek, be set apart. We're not trying to be different to make others feel bad. We're not trying to be different to show off. We're trying to be like God wants us to be. And so he said, that's what I'm asking of you. I thought, yeah, but man, we could be living the high life. And so I just pulled a couple of pictures off the internet of the high life. Man, when you get high, isn't that the life? Yeah, you're slumped over in a doorway. You're shooting up in the alley. Man, don't they look like happy? Man, come join us on Friday night. We're having a party. I said, man, I am not interested in going there. I'm not interested. Yeah, but man, it's fun. Yeah, but look at you. You guys are so strung out, frowsed out. That is not really fun. And from times gone by, you had the faces of meth. Here is a person 10 years later after using meth. Man, isn't it wonderful to party hard and get into high living? Oh, no. No, that has consequences. I don't want to go there. I like thrills and I like excitement and I like roller coasters and all such as that. But man, I don't want to go where they're going. I have my goal set on something else. I want to experience the really exciting life that Jesus Christ has planned. 1 Peter 1:17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges. If your own dad, let's say you liked your dad, and your dad liked you, and you were pulled over for speeding, you were just not paying attention, and you're going 20 miles over, and you go before the judge, who's dad, and he said, how do you plead? Well, dad, you know, it's just a little mistake. And he doesn't show any impartiality between you and the bozo before you and after you. And he judges you exactly according to the law. One person one time said to me, he said, you know, Paul, when we stand in the judgment, we'll probably be the only truly impartial judgment we've ever gotten in our life. Your family and friends, you're too easy on you. Your enemies, too hard on you. And God will do it just right. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear doing your time on earth. Loanitis says, that's the reference here is to profound respect and awe for deity. God, you rule in the kingdom of men. Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God, it's important to me to please you because without you, my life is a disaster. And so in 1 Peter 1:24, all human beings, this is a Good News translation, all human beings are like grass and their glory like the wildflowers. And the grass withers and the flowers fall. Well, life happens that way. Gunn and I watched part of a program last night with Kevin Costner and Field of Dreams and about some baseball great way back in the day, 1928 to 35, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Man, don't we celebrate that all the time, don't we? No, there's some guy named Joe back there. And it was great for a while, and then there was this big upheaval and scandal, and, you know, that's 50 years ago, 75 years ago, 100 years ago. All life is that way. What doesn't change is if you're a Christian and you belong to him. So here's where we end up this morning in verse 18 and 19. He says, he really shows that Jesus paid the price for us. You're not redeemed by perishable silver or gold. You know, it can wear off. It can get lost. It can be devalued. But you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your forefathers. Paul, how did your own family live? Not very good. And as a non-Christian, how did you live? Not very good. Why? Well, I'm just doing what they were doing. Yeah, but it wasn't very good. Well, how about Grandpa? Well, hi, and I tell people from time to time, my mother, of Hungarian descent, and she would emphasize to me, she said, Paul, your people were not, the beggar kind. They weren't the gypsies. Your people owned land back in the old country. She impressed that on me. Later I found out they did own land, but they were doing things that weren't necessarily legal. And great-great-grandpa went to jail for a year, and he came to America and started a new life and went to jail for another year. So my people were not gypsies. They were convicts. So, hey, the reality is all that doesn't matter. That's all in the past. We weren't redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from our forefathers. And so it wasn't just stuff, but with the precious blood of Christ, without blemish or defect. What would you give up to save your child? Physically, their life, cancer, car crash. And the answer to that is anything and everything. God said, that's how I feel about you. and your life was paid for by the blood of Christ. We're going to sing this song this morning, Whiter Than Snow, number 766. We can be that. We can be exactly what God wants. We start by setting our minds for action. If you'd like to respond in any way that we can help you, won't you come forward? Let's be standing and singing number 766.